Here's the 2-2. Lynn drives to right center field. This is going to gap at the wall. Watch it. This one is out of here. Number 23 for Adam Lind, a two-run drive that gives the Blue Jays a 3-2 lead here in the third inning.
A welcome sight and a rocket from Adam Lind in the bottom of the third. 3-2 Blue Jays at the time. They were off and running to a 7-3 win. That's the play of the game brought to you by Rogers On Demand. Watch the Jays live from anywhere, online or on the go, at rogersondemand.com. Later in the ballgame, Jose Bautista would go deep because, well, someone must have told him that Curtis Granderson hit two home runs last night. Bautista moves back into a tie for the Major League lead with 38 home runs. And as Scott Carson of Rogers Sportsnet just came down to tell us, that was only the second home run of the 94 that Jose Bautista has hit since he became Jose Bautista, the 92, pardon me, over the last 2 years. It's only the second one that he's hit on an 0-2 pitch. And at the time, it gave the Blue Jays that 7-3 lead. Kelly Johnson had three hits, two singles, and a bloop triple. J.P. Arencibia, a bloop triple as well, along with a single and a double. He missed the cycle by a home run, and he was on deck when Brett Laurie lined out hard to left field to end the eighth inning. Ricky Romero finishes the month of August 5-0. Good shot at pitcher of the month. Brett Laurie's got a good shot at rookie of the month, though Desmond Jennings is going to give him a heck of a battle. Jennings, 1-for-4 with a walk and a run scored tonight for the Rays. Laurie was 1-for-4 with a walk and two stolen bases for the Blue Jays. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Jays Talk. We are taking your calls to the bottom of the hour, and then we will extend the Jays Talk all the way to 11 o'clock on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 and Fan590.com. Also keeping an eye on Twitter, where you can find me at Wilnerness590, though I haven't really gotten it down as far as the phones and the Twitter at the same time, so might not see as many tweets, but we're getting there. We're getting there. Marlon is in Toronto. You're going to be the leadoff man. Hello, Marlon.
How are you doing, Mike?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
Few questions. One about Laurie. I just would like to hear your perspective on him this season and if you think he could continue this next year. And I have one thing about Bautista, a few things about him. Do you think Bautista hitting so many home runs and not the ribbies is not as much as his home runs if you compare both? Do you think that affected him the like for voting in MVP ballot, like, you know, last year, now this year?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I think the fact that he's on a team that was never within a sniff of the playoffs has affected his MVP status for last year and will again this year.
Okay, but in general, though, what about a player that hits a ton of home runs and, you know what I mean, it doesn't produce
impact? Well, people don't pitch to him with runners on base. And if people aren't going to pitch to you with runners on base, there's really not much you can do about that. You got to take the RBI opportunities where they come. And he had two tonight, one on a ground out with runners at second and third. So the big power hitters who can be pitched around are not going to drive in as many runs as you would think they would, given
one,
their home
one runs. Quick one before I go.
Yeah.
You know, I've been listening to you, other people like Jeff and everyone. Do you think the Blue Jays realistically is going to be ready next year to even make a push?
I have no idea, and nobody does. It depends.
What's your opinion on that?
My opinion is I have no idea. It depends on how these young players develop. Guys like Colby Rasmus, and whether it's Eric Thames or Travis Snyder, if Adam Lind bounces back, who plays second base? Can Yunel Escobar have another year like this? Can Brett Laurie keep this up? Can J.P. Arencibia get better? Can the young pitching continue to improve? There are a ton of ifs. But, you know, the Blue Jays have had a year that has not been terrific this year. A lot of things have gone wrong, and yet here they are in a building situation, still a 500 club, 134 games into the season at the end of August, and that is a strong testament to their talent. But no, I have no idea, and anyone who tells you differently is just making stuff up. As far as Brett Laurie and can he continue this, I would have to imagine that the answer is no, based on the numbers that he's putting up. He's 22 games into his major league career, so you can almost just multiply everything by 8, and that gives you 30 doubles, 30 triples, 40 homers, 106 runs scored and 112 RBIs and hitting 340. You know, punch his ticket to the Hall of Fame if he can keep this up for the rest of his career. But there are ups and downs with all young players, and Brett Laurie is going to be no different. He will slump. But so far, he has looked spectacular, and it's been just a joy to watch. We must off, but the phone lines remain open, and we will extend the Jays Talk, so please do give us a call. The Extendo Jays Talk will continue to the top of the hour. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network.
Thank you, pitch.
Belted to left field. Long, high drive. Yes, sir. Let's admire that one. There she goes. A thunderous drive to deep left field. Second deck. And Bautista's 38th home run gives the Blue Jays a 7-3 lead over Tampa Bay.
And there would be your final score. That was also to give Bautista a share of the Major League lead with Curtis Granderson, his 38th home run of the season. Jays beat the Rays 7-3 to salvage the finale of a three-game set. They knocked out Wade Davis in the fifth inning. And when they knocked out Wade Davis after he walked Brett Laurie, the score was 5-3 for Toronto. That was the first time an opposing starting pitcher had left a game trailing since last Sunday back in Oakland. So the Jays finish a 2-5 homestand. They sell the possibility of playing a 500 in August. And we are extending the Jays talk. And it is not Josie Chilia who is our technical director. A thousand pardons to Derek Brandeo. But I'm sorry, Brandeo. No, I'm not going to say anything else. I'm making Derek mad. He has just forgiven me. We are extending the Jays talk until 11 o'clock when, I don't know what happens. Raceline Radio, I guess, happens at 11 o'clock. Until then, we're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Eddie is in Toronto. Hello, Eddie.
Hi, Mike. I was at the game tonight. It was a great game. I was there with my kids. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the in-game experience. I don't know if you can answer the question or not, but you know why it is that the Blue Jays do not show more replays on the Jumbotron?
Yeah, they're not allowed to.
They're not allowed to by Major League Baseball?
Correct. Major League Baseball, because for some reason, or maybe because the umpires union for some reason is afraid that showing the replay of a close play will incite the fans against the umpires. Teams are not allowed to show replays of close plays.
Well, I understand that. I understand close calls and that. I know that that's been a rule for a long time.
Oh, okay.
But for instance, I would have liked to have seen the triple that was early on by the Rays where the guys almost put a spectacular catch in center field and didn't. I mean, that wasn't a close call. That was just a great try, and he missed it. I would have liked to have seen that. From my vantage point, I couldn't tell exactly what happened until he was the third base runner. So just
plays
like that.
Yeah, you know what? And that's a reasonable point, and I don't know the answer to that question. If it were up to me, I would show the replay of every play. I mean, because you never know when people are going to be looking away, and you don't sit there with tablets and or laptops that you're able to replay the games, and maybe some people can on their phone, but the truth of the matter is the in-game experience would be enhanced if you got to see the play again. They do show a reasonable number, though, don't they?
I mean, they show home runs, but, I mean, a home run generally is a home run. I mean, you see the replays at home. I mean, that's why, I mean, some people talk about why they don't go to the games, because the home experience is so great. So, I mean, the Blue Jays are doing their best. The team is doing their best to make it good. I mean, they're playing ball for the most part, but I think the in-game experience would be better with the more replay.
All right, fair enough. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it a lot. Yeah, I don't know why they don't show more replays of the non-controversial calls. I know that they don't show them of close calls, but certainly not a bad idea. Mike is in Toronto. Mike.
Hi, Mike. I grew up in Boston and moved to Toronto a year ago. And which really got me a little bit puzzled is obviously I'm used to a lot of winning baseball with the Red Sox. I'm a little puzzled as to all the positive chatter about the Blue Jays, I just don't see it. I think they're miles behind the Yankees in Boston. They're not even close to Tampa Bay. So this chatter about them being the postseason in 2013, 14, 15, I think they're a good 5 years behind Tampa Bay. Forget about the Yankees or Boston. And what's got me a little bit puzzled is, like, they're growing up in Boston, there was nothing but in the media criticism on the Bo Sox, which have made the playoffs for about the last 15 years. Yet in Toronto here, I don't see much criticism of the Blue Jays. I hear nothing but plaudits, and I don't see it. I mean, I think at best they're an average ball club, probably a little below 500 ball club, and I don't see this chatter of postseason.
I understand. You've said it three times now.
Yeah, I mean, you've talked a lot about it, and I'm just wondering, is it the whole Rogers empire? I mean, do they control a lot of the media, or is there any pressure on that? I'm just wondering.
No, I think that there's a lot of talent in Toronto, a lot of talent on this team, and you're entitled not to see it, I guess, and that's fair. There aren't any, well, not any. There's Jose Bautista, who's the best hitter in the game, but there aren't a lot of Adrian Gonzalez's and Kevin Youkilis's and Dustin Pedroia's here with the Blue Jays. There's no question about that. But what the hope is and what the scouting community at large believes is that there are the future versions of those things who are here. And that's what people are excited about. They're excited about the fact that when you look out at this team right now, there is a potential all-star at every position on the diamond. And that's something that's, you know, not easy to put together.
I've heard you say that, but I mean, I think a lot of the talent is overrated. I really do. I mean, you talked about Travis Snyder for the last two or three years.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't see, you know, I know he's only 23 years old.
Okay, that's the most important thing about it. Do you like your Red Sox fan, right?
I'm a Red Sox fan, but I've tried to be a Blue Jay fan. No, I tried to be a Blue Jay fan.
Which is great. But I can understand your allegiances. But you like the John Lester and the Clay Buchholz, right?
I think the biggest thing that I'm a bit disappointed in, I don't think the Blue Jays are anywhere near close to a postseason. Like that's all I read in the papers. I hear on radio. I hear you talk about it. I don't think they're I don't think I'll see. I don't think I'll see the Blue Jays in postseason in a decade.
And you might not. You know what? You might not. But you might see them next year. And the fact of the matter is, I'm not going to debate an entire philosophy. If you don't see the talent, you don't see the talent. But you're very much in the minority, and that's okay.
Well, I think in the minority, maybe in Toronto or among
no,
the
I think you're
writers,
in the minority among people who understand baseball and know what they're looking at when they see guys like Rasmus and Aaron Sebia and Snyder and Laurie and Escobar and Romero and Morrow and Alvarez and Drabek and guys like that.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
I mean, take Jay's position by position on their pitching staff versus Tampa Bay, sort of looking forward for the next 5 years. I wouldn't trade Tampa Bay in a minute for the Jays lineup.
Except that Tampa Bay is not going to have a lot of these guys in the next 5 years, and that's one major difference between the Jays and Rays as well. I mean, Tampa started at a different level 3 years ago. They've been a very good team for now four years, and the Blue Jays haven't. But Tampa can't keep their people. And you saw last year when the whole bullpen left and Carl Crawford left and Carlos Pena left and they had to trade Matt Garza and they almost had to trade James Shields. The Blue Jays aren't going to have those issues because they're going to be able to afford to keep their young, good players. But if you want to look around the diamond, I'll take J.P. Arencibia over John Jaso. 8 days a week and twice on Sundays. I'll take Adam Lind over Casey Kochman.
Well, just a minute now. Adam Lind, I've never seen a man swing at more bad pitches the second half of the season than Adam Lind.
Okay.
I mean, this man.
Right, and I'll still take him over a .380 on base that's all singles and walks. I'll take Yunel Escobar over Sean Rodriguez, no problem. Have to take Evan Longoria over Brett Laurie, even though Laurie's doing awfully well. Desmond Jennings is a guy you take in left field. I will take Colby Rasmus over B.J. Upton. I'll take Jose Bautista over Matt Joyce. So there you go. And I'll take Edwin Encarnacion over the gaping hole that Tampa's going to have at DH next year when Johnny Damon leaves because they can't afford to bring him back.
And then go through the pitching staff. I mean, I don't have the pitching
Their
staff.
Starters are really good.
Tampa
starters are really good. The Blue Jays have some starters who are really good, too. They're not as good as Tampa Bay's as a group, no question about it.
I don't see them in postseason play now.
Okay, Mike, I appreciate the call. I have to let you go. We have a lot of other people we want to get on, and we're just going in circles. So you don't see it, that's fine. Nobody has to see it. You don't have to see it if you don't want to see it. The talent is here, and there's more talent on the way. And the fact that the Blue Jays can be a 500 team in the American League East while they're rebuilding, I think speaks very highly of the talent. Rob Wong has an update, and Rob Wong is very good at doing updates. He's also very good at hitting into triple plays, though it wasn't his fault. Not at all his fault. We are going to Rob Wong for an update, and then more of your phone calls on the Extendo Jays Talk on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
He lines one down the left field side in the corner, up against the wall. Here comes Johnson to score into second base. Aaron Sevilla with a dive, and the Blue Jays lead it 4-2.
RBI double for J.P. Aaron Sevilla in the fourth. He would have an RBI single in the fifth and pick up his first big league stolen base. And then he would have a bloop triple in the seventh inning. Finish the game a home run shy of the cycle as the Blue Jays take down the Rays. 7-3, Jose Bautista and Adam Lind go deep. Kelly Johnson, 3-for-4 with a bloop triple of his own. And Edwin Encarnacion stole a base. Brett Laurie stole two. Blue Jays, 7-3 win over the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. And we're taking your phone calls right up until Raceline Radio at 11 o'clock, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Etobicoke. Paul, welcome to the program.
Mike, I actually agree with that last caller. However, if Toronto Blue Jays did not go up against John Henry or Hal Steinbrenner, they would be competitive. I agree with you that Tampa can't afford their guys, but, Mike, how long are we going to praise Alex Anthopoulos for his job? He's in his second year.
Yep.
He's doing a good job.
Uh-huh.
Isn't this the 2003 version? You remember J.P. Ricciardi? They won 86 games. Vernon Wells won a Golden Glove. And as soon as the winter meetings of 05 came, he was given the bank, the Brinks truck, to open the count on Troy Glaus, Benji Molina, A.J. Burnett, and then he started whining. Do you see that that could happen 2 or 3 years from now when, and then Anthopoulos will not be popular anymore? We were praising JP in 03. I just want your opinion on how long we have to wait and when, you know, are we going to just see this 89-win team at best?
Well, first of all, no one knows how long we have to wait. No, there are no crystal balls. There are no clairvoyants. There's nothing like that. Talent develops as talent develops. Some guys get it when they're 22. Some guys get it when they're 27. Some guys never get it. Some guys are 30, like Jose Bautista. So nobody knows when it's going to happen. All you can do is collect as much talent as you possibly can and hope that it happens. But no, from everything that Alex Anthopoulos and Paul Beeston have said, there isn't going to be any crying poor. They've said over and over and over again that the Blue Jays have the money, that Rogers is going to give them the money when they feel it's necessary. And they've gotten money to do things that they've felt they needed to do. They got $6 million bucks to make sure that they got the best possible prospects in the Kyle Drabek trade. They took on Mark Tian's $7 million contract in order to make the Colby Rasmus trade. They've been among the top spenders in the draft in the last couple of years, and they're signing 16-year-olds out of Latin America for huge bonuses, which they never did under J.P. Ricciardi. They just haven't done it on the free agent market yet.
Well, that J.P. got the money 3 years into his tenure. And
J.P. got $70 million a year 3 years into his tenure, yes.
Yeah, and...
And that's when the Yankees went from $70 million to $200 million.
That's right, but... We all loved JP in this city until he got frustrated with his own work and started whining about not competing with John Henry and George Steinbrenner.
Yeah, I don't think that's why people fell out of love with JP Ricciardi. I think, first of all, there was never a point in time where everybody loved Ricciardi. There were people who were on him
from Moneyball.
There were people who were on him from day one when he traded Alex Gonzalez, when he traded Paul Quantrill, when he got rid of some popular players here. So he was behind the eight ball from the get-go, and then he kind of got himself into trouble with his mouth quite a bit.
Well, he actually didn't even inherit a good product from Gordash. Like Alex.
Well, he had some good pieces, though. He had some good pieces. He had Roy Halladay and Chris Carpenter, and he had Carlos Delgado and a lot of decent pieces. And you know what, Paul? I appreciate the call. We're not going over J.P. Ricciardi's tenure here with the Blue Jays tonight. Way too many other people to talk to, and really, what's the point? Joe is in Brooklyn. Hello, Joe. What do you know?
Not too much. These guys have been calling in.
I guess.
But I'm a true Blue Jay fan, and let me tell you, I'm watching these guys play and these young players coming up. It's excited me the last couple of years, and I think Alex is doing a great job. And as long as they keep putting these players that want to play on the field and hustle the way they do, like Laurie and that, it's exciting baseball. And I think we're a couple of years away, but as long as when we watch the game and these guys are hustling and they're not just dead weight out there, I don't think we should be complaining. I think he's done a great job. And the guy from Boston there, what a joke. Unbelievable. When's the last time they won two World Series in a row without spending $200 million? Like, seriously, we had some great teams back in the 80s and early 90s, and I think people forget that.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to duplicate right now by growing it the same way.
Exactly, and you know what? If any true Blue Jay fans out there that have been following the Jays since the inception, which I have, if they don't see that, it's too bad. You know what? But I think they're doing a great job. Keep bringing up the rookies. You know what? Let them play. We don't need no free agents out here. I think the team that we have on the field right now, if we had a bit better pitching, good relievers this year, we'd be right up there with Boston and New York. Forget about Tampa. We should be at the top there. If we would have won those 20 saves, 23 saves that we lost, even if we won 10 of those games, we'd be right up there. So you know what? People should not be complaining.
Okay.
That's all I got to say, Mike.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. They wouldn't have, first of all, they've blown 20 saves, but they haven't got 20 losses in there, and they still wouldn't be in the race if they'd won 10 of those games, but I think it's a little overdone there by saying that with a better bullpen the Jays would be in a playoff race this year, but the rest of what you said was strong, so thank you. Let's go up to Georgetown. Reed, welcome to the program.
Hey, I wanted to talk to that guy about who was saying about J.P. Ricciardi, you know, opening up all that money for the team back then. That was the biggest mistake he made, was he opened up his wallet and spent too much when we didn't have the team to supply it or to fill out. Anthopoulos is doing exactly the right thing. He's waiting till we build a good, strong, young core. And if we get to the point where we need some real bodies, we can buy it because we got the core there. Just like everybody used to make fun of Pat Gillick for years, calling him Stan Pat, because he didn't, you know, blow his load right away. He waited when we finally had the team. Then he went out and bought the finishing touches. And Anthopoulos is doing exactly right.
Okay. Okay, and I agree that it is much easier to just put the finishing touches on a strong core. But again, I don't want to get into the whole JP thing. The Blue Jays had an excellent team in 2006, 7, 8, and they didn't put the finishing touches on it that would have gotten them over the top. But they did have an excellent team, and the way he did it could have worked too. It just, unfortunately, injuries and really never addressing left field were what killed the Blue Jays over the course of those years. But Alex Anthopoulos has a clear vision, and he is sticking to it. And it's about collecting talent, amassing draft picks, and getting guys who you can't get until they hit free agency. Getting the guys that are the elite level talents. And sometimes you have to take other people's problems in order to do it. But he is, again, as I said to the guy from Boston, or the Boston fan, the Blue Jays right now are at a point where they have a potential all-star at every position on the diamond. And it's an amazing thing to see. It's just going to take time, and we'll see if they achieve that potential. Thanks, Reed. Where are we going now? We are going to Thomas in Toronto. Hello, Thomas.
Hey, Mike. I totally 100% agree with the gentleman from Boston. And, like, you know, Tampa Bay, and with all due respects to what you say night in and night out, Mike, and for years, and I know Rich is a little bit more objective in some of his views about the Blue Jays, but...
I don't know who Rich is.
Rich Griffin.
Oh, okay.
okay, you call him rich, okay? And with all due respect, I think that you can say all you want that Tampa Bay may not be able to keep all their players, but say, suppose FSN Florida decides to acquire the Tampa Bay Rays and inject all this money, you never know what's going to happen to Tampa Bay.
This is very true.
These are talented players. They're an attractive. They could be an attractive buy for a millionaire out there. So we never know. And the dollar, everybody likes to play in America for some reason, thinking that their dollar is more superior. So I mean, we never know. Blue Jays, on the other hand, when they won in '92, we got to remember here.
Yep.
They were the highest paid team. We're living in different economic time now. Where multimedia conglomerates own the teams now.
Yep.
So let's just calm down on the hype here. And I totally agree with the guy from Boston, what he was saying. He's absolutely right. I think that the media here over-exaggerates a little bit. We were high on David Percy. What happened to him?
No one was that high on David Percy.
What happened to him?
Zach Stewart got them Colby Rasmus.
What was that?
Zach Stewart got them Colby Rasmus.
But what I'm saying is those guys were supposed to be our future, and all of a sudden they didn't work out. And now it looks like, I agree with Bob McCown, what he said, now it looks like Travis Snyder may be one of those players that may be up and down or may be a journeyman from team to team.
Right, because you often 23-year-olds who have great success in the major leagues at the age of 20 wind up journeymen. It happens sometimes. You know what? Like I said, the talent is there, and you never know whether the talent's going to achieve its potential. And even with the, you know, Lord help us, the Tampa Bay Rays, you never know if their young talent is going to achieve its potential either. The truth of the matter is it's a crapshoot, but again, you collect as much talent as you possibly can, and you hope that eventually enough of it works out so that you build yourself a good team. And right now, there is no question that the Blue Jays are a good team. Are they a great team? No. Are they on their way? One certainly hopes. Marty's in Aurora. Marty.
Hello. Can you hear me, Mike?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Just wanted to make a quick comment about, one fast point. The first time I've ever watched an Arizona game on TV yesterday, it was really fun watching Aaron Hill looking like he was a kid again, having fun, and John McDonald. I don't know if you had a chance to catch any of that.
I did not. I have become an Arizona Diamondbacks fan, though. There's no question about that.
That was really exciting baseball. These guys got to be thrilled. They've got to be thrilled. That's what I really wanted to call about. Though. These fans calling in and whining and stuff like that, that's kind of got me a little bit PO'd. Because I do agree that Alex is positioning this team well. They are a lot closer than people believe. But I guess maybe people feel like they've been burned over the years with some of the, I don't want to mention the name JP again. But, I mean, not because he was that bad. It was just his mouth got him into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and he overpromised, I think. And that's unfortunate.
He came off as being cocky, in my opinion, and that didn't help his case.
Well, I didn't have a problem with that, though. I mean, I want someone who thinks they're really, really good at what they do when they're running my ball club.
Well, that too. But the quiet cockiness of Alex methodically going about his business has really impressed me a lot. And the one thing that I think that would change the whole picture of this entire conversation that we're having with some of the people tonight is if Major League Ball will just allow a few more teams into the playoffs. Because everyone will then say, well, once we get there, you never know what's going to happen. And that's true.
I don't know if that's right. I mean, it seems to be the 21st century way of doing things. If something is too hard, don't get better, just make it easier. I think what baseball, the right thing for baseball to do would be to balance the schedule, but they don't seem to be terribly interested in doing that. I think we're going to see another playoff team next year or the year after, though.
I certainly hope so, because it would definitely make things interesting, and that's my take on it, and I enjoy your show. Looking forward to hearing some other callers.
All right, I appreciate the call. Thank you. We are going to see another playoff team in each league. I don't know if it'll be in 2012 or 2013. But for me, the most important thing is to balance the schedule. I hate the division thing, and I hate the idea of these divisional rivalries, and you have to have rivalries. To me, it's such a load. But Bud Selig loves it, and so as long as he's in charge, we're going to have divisions, and we're likely to have an unbalanced schedule, and that's too bad. But it would be good if every team in the major leagues actually had a fair chance to make the playoffs. And as it stands right now, certainly not the case that every team in the major leagues has a fair chance to make the playoffs. I don't want it to be easier to make the playoffs. I just want it to be fair. That's all I ask. And things would be a lot different here in Toronto as far as the perception of baseball and of the baseball team if things were fair. And if we ever got to an NHL or NBA style playoff system, then look out, because you know, the Leafs haven't made the playoffs in forever. The Blue Jays would be in pretty much every year. We got time for one more. One more before we hear from Walk. Jake is in North York. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Mike. Hey, listen, I was listening to Jonah Carey the other day, and he was saying, you know, in his opinion, he said, you know, I think the Jays should go after some of these top free agents like Sabathia or Prince Fielder or, you know, especially Sabathia. But
well, we don't know that Sabathia is going to be a free agent.
Well, if he is, right? But anyway, some of the top guys, he said, you know, if they did, it was his opinion that the Jays would be considered a favorite for the wild card. Now, I ask you, when I listen to you, it sounds like you have some sort of inside information.
No, I don't.
But this is how you talk. Uh-huh. Like it's all this potential talent.
Yes.
Now, you could say this potential talent or potential all-stars.
Yep.
You could say that on any team.
No, you can't.
Well, sure. Listen.
No, of course you can't.
Let me just answer.
All right.
Considering where Jose Bautista came from to be almost the best player in baseball.
Okay,
you
but
should
that's,
be able to say that with any team.
But on. Okay, but you can't. But that's a once in a lifetime thing, and maybe
please. When you say when 2 years ago,
yeah.
You say Travis Snyder, we can build this team around Snyder, Hill, and Adam Lynn. Hill's gone. Snyder is like, you know, who knows what.
Right.
Right? So this whole conversation.
So is Lynn.
The difference between the Jays and Boston and New York Yankees is they go out and they cherry pick already well-established talent with track records. And this is what the Jays should do. They should go out and get Prince Fielder, or at least try to get these top talent, already proven players, like Granderson. This is what New York does.
Yeah, but how did New York get Granderson? They actually had some decent minor league talent that they put together, and they made a deal for him.
Mike.
And that's how the Blue Jays get a Colby Rasmus.
The Blue Jays payroll is, what, $18 million?
Yes, it's $18 million.
That's right.
No, it's not.
They're getting $32 million revenue sharing check every year that they keep hidden. And you can track that out. And you know that's true.
No, Jake. And based on the fact that you just said they had a payroll of $18 million, I don't know what you know is true either. The truth of the matter is, here's the truth. The truth is that the Blue Jays are very, very transparent with what they're doing and have been extraordinarily transparent with what they're attempting to do in order to build a team. Now, people often hear what they want to hear. You don't know how many dozens of people have said to me that Alex Anthopoulos has said the Blue Jays will be going for the playoffs in 2012, and it's not true. It's never happened. But you cannot just say because Jose Bautista emerged as the best player, then everyone has an equal shot of being great. They don't. That's what scouting's for. That's what evaluation tells us, that there are guys who slip through the cracks and there are guys who are better than you think they're going to be, but often talent wins out. Thanks for all the calls. Appreciate them all. Thanks to Brandeo, to Faiso, Tom Young, Dylan Brown. See you tomorrow night.